Well, we had a message on our heart, and if you would just tarry with us a little bit, we need to preach it, because sometimes when we get hurting in body, it does us well to preach God's Word and to feel His Holy Spirit. When we always leave the pulpit, we always feel better physically. So if you would just bear with us a little bit, we need to preach this for our healing. So this ain't a message on healing, though. This is a message about a man who left his father's house and in search for the possessions of his father. His father told him to take if you want to turn there, it's First Samuel, the ninth chapter. We mentioned this in Sunday school, but we know that Achish, Saul's father, told him that he had lost some asses and that he wanted his son to go look for him. And he said, I want you to pick a servant, I believe is what he said. And we never find out what the name of that servant is, but I don't know how many servants of that Kish had. But it sounds to me like it says, take now one of the servants. So we know they had more than one. And it sounds like to me that Saul picked the wise one. It sounds like to me Saul picked one that was prepared for the journey. I think about that, and as we read, we're going to find out that he picked a servant that was even prepared yet even more than he was for this journey. On this, as it were, a quest to find these ashes. The Bible says that they looked for 3 days. They looked for so long. It said they looked here, then they looked there, and they looked here and over there. And Saul said to his servant, he said, listen, we need to get back to the house, because lest my father quit worrying about the ashes and start worrying about me. We might not read nothing in the Bible, but we're going to pick the text anyhow from the ninth chapter of 1 Samuel. His servant said, well, let me tell, before we go back home, there's a prophet, but they didn't call them prophets back then. They called them a seer. He said, there's one down here. Maybe we can go. Maybe we can ask him about your daddy's ashes. So that's where they went. People doing this all over town with the MP3 player, shaking their head, listening to the music. Listen, there ain't nothing better. You can put on an MP3 player in the Word of God. Well, we were listening to it, and I thought that would be to a lot of people. They go to a man of God, a seer of the future. They go ask him where a bunch of unclean animals were. Let us go. And Saul said, well, I ain't got nothing. Our vessels are empty of bread. I ain't got nothing to give him. Once again, the servant, he said, well, I got a quarter part of a shekel. We can give him that. My desire today is that I might be that servant, a servant of the king. Or that's what he was. They were looking. We don't know how many. We heard in Sunday school that it was a mode of transportation. There's a lot of people today looking for God, over wanting to get from point A to point B. But if you had just come and inquire of a small things, you'll find and hear great things of the Lord. But we've got to make the journey. We've got to follow God. That's all walked and find out that the answer's there, that it was standing waiting on him. And the servant said, let us go to the city. So they went. They asked of the women at the well, where do you find strength? And he said, hey, do you know where the steer is? Talking about Samuel. They said, oh boy, you come just at the right time. Because he's going to go, and he's going to offer sacrifices. He's going to bless the sacrifices of the people in that town. So, they said, all right. But as
as they went to the city, there was one that come out to meet them, and his name was Samuel, and he was that seer, because God had told him the day before, I'm going to send you a man from Benjamin, and he's going to be a king, and I want you to anoint him. A man that come and I find an unclean animal, found the anointing of God. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm searching for a many a thing when I come to the Lord. But what I found in Him was more than one to tell me where my worldly possessions were. But the Bible said, oh Samuel said, come up with me. I've got much to tell you. So they went. And he ate. There is a portion set aside. Samuel looked at Saul and said, it's all I reckon. If you read it, maybe Saul was wondering if this was for him. Or should he eat or not? But Samuel said, hey, I've saved this for you. I knew you were coming. Well, listen to me. I want to point you to the seer. And I ain't talking about Samuel. I'm talking about the one that has seen your life already. The one that has the... Listen, if I was, as it were, a seer and could see the future, what good would it be? But I want to tell you, we've got one that not only sees the future, but has the answers. Daryl can walk through life and come to agree the great God that is me. Listen, God seen it, He knew. But I serve a God that just not only sees the future, but makes a way where there is none. The one that sees all the way back when God the Father looked at the Son and said, let us make man. He knew back then there'll be here today. That there'll be the touch of the Holy Spirit. The great poor, the bread of life. And I don't know what the future holds, but one thing I know, that we will walk through the wilderness and we're willing to make the journey. They'll be winning at the well. And a dip on the water of life. There'll be a seer, as it were. And a clear us, to meet us. There the threshold would say, come on in. That's my desire. That I might be as that servant. Look, but if they don't like us, my keys, a pocket knife, some pocket change. But what I can offer you is much more than a quarter part of a shekel. I can tell you about my Jesus, the seer of all my heart. But He's more than a seer. Oh, He is the Lord. The Bible says, I've got some keys on here. I don't even remember where they go. But the Bible says He holds the keys, the death, hell, and the grave. But sometimes, as it were, we paint ourselves in a corner. But sometimes we lock ourselves in a house to protect ourselves from the outside world. But it's a lonely place to be, is it not? But the Bible says there's one who holds the keys, and not only the death, hell, and the grave, but it holds the keys to the locks I have constructed ourselves and placed on the door. And He knocks, and we say, but the door is locked. I want you to listen to the servant who is telling you, let us go to the seer, and the one who can tell us where the unclean animal is. Oh, but He'll tell you much more. But we find that the saw went up, and there was a table set, and He had a shoulder of a lamb, I believe it was, and it was set before Him. And Samuel said, look, it's for you. God told me it'd be here. I prepared the meal. It's for you. And He ate of that food. Samuel first seen him. He said, your father's ashes have been found. Of the very thing that old Saul was worried about. God already found the answer for him. Oh, but what Saul was going to carry was much greater than the worry of a few unclean animals of his father. For old Samuel begins to speak to him. The Bible says that he stood shoulders above everybody else. Not a head taller than everybody else, but taller shoulders and above. But yet we know that when people looked at him, they said that he was goodly in appearance. That this was a man, I reckon, if he was going to go to battle training, you're pretty physically strong. You don't look as physical, impressive as you once did. But I want to tell you, there was a time we was down along the fence, and I was glad you was there. A while ago, he looked impressive. But there was one way back yonder. That the Bible said stood a head and shoulders above them all. And then we find out that he weren't as strong as a little red boy. That the Bible speaks about this thing was David. A way because, as Timothy's already pointed out, God looks at the heart. He don't look at the size of it. You know, I've often wondered if people were drawn to my grandfather because he is so tall. You know, it truly touched my heart as a kid to see a man so big and to cry like a baby. Well, I'm sure I weren't just the only one it touched. But listen, he wasn't a great preacher because of his stature. He was a great preacher because he had seen the seer. He had seen the God that holds the universe in the palm of his hands. He said, yea, Lord, I will follow you. And that's what he wants of us today. We heard a message about faith this morning. But faith is not simply believing. It's trusting. We must trust in the Lord. There's a lot of people that have believed that God exists. But yet, as our father said, we're not going to preach that again. But as our father said, that we must have a faith. We must believe unto salvation. And is that nothing more than to trust the Lord? The world would like to say, I'll trust him. Oh, will he give me this, this, and that? I'll trust him. But he wants us to trust him. Not only on the mountaintop, but in the valley below. Not only when we got money in our pockets, but when we don't have two pennies to rub together. He wants us to trust him. Saying today, I've seen what you need. I've told the man of God yesterday, I prepared your meal today. I want you to light yourself in Patmos and eat at the table of God. And don't worry about the details. Surrender to him and if you will. But we can find out. Just like Saul did. He said, well, wait a minute. I'm the smallest tribe in Israel. But God had a plan for him. And he told him. And he began to tell him the future. He said, you're going to walk. You're going to journey a while in the morning. Or maybe he told him this in the morning. But anyhow, and he said, you're going to meet three men. And one's going to have three loaves. One's going to have three sacrifices. And one's going to have a bottle of wine. And they're going to give you two loaves. And he said, and you're going to go a little further. And you're going to meet the prophets. For the Bible says the son of the prophets. And you're going to prophesy. And the Bible said his heart was changed. Oh, we could turn there if you would. But listen. He said, and he left and he experienced the anointing of God. That's my desire today. I don't care why you come to church today. If it was for anything other, to enter into this journey, that wherever one one of us all. And the Lord will provide us with the strength and with the anointing. You know, I don't know who it was. I think maybe it was my grandfather. I believe it was. He said that a spirit-filled preaching begets spirit-filled preachers. You know, that's what's so sad about it. That's why when we see it die, we see one more go by the wayside. We were talking about this in India. We had a meeting with over 30 different churches represented. I don't know how many was there. But that little church, we got pictures of it. It was filled. I begin to warn them that if you anoint preachers not according to the scripture that we find in Timothy, that all you got to do is anoint one, or not anoint them rather, but ordain them. And I said they'll go and they'll anoint ordain all the ones of their kind. That's what we find today. It breaks our heart. We see one night after another. Forget about preaching in the Spirit. They're not qualified because they're sinning their life. I find it interesting, don't you, that when Paul came to tell Timothy the qualifications of a preacher, he didn't tell them that they would have a big congregation. He didn't say that they would have a wonderful delivery. He didn't say that the hundreds would hear and listen. But he began to declare unto him a life that's not engulfed in sin. And then he began to name the sins that a preacher would be partaking in. Why? Because that's the sign of a preacher. Listen, each and every one of us. That's the sign of a Christian. But if God ain't required of them, of a preacher, he didn't require first of a Christian. But how can a preacher, the Bible says, how can he preach unless he be called? How can he preach against sin when his house is in disarray? That's what Paul is declaring to the world. And that's what I would declare to you today. Each and every one of us, that we would use the Word of God as a mirror and look at it and say, God, show me who I am. Oh, we see it, hear the world. I hear my co-workers as if they're trying to convince me, and I ain't asked to be convinced. Sometimes I just want to turn my head and walk away, because I know deep down they're trying to convince themselves of who they are. But listen, the world's full of people who are convincing themselves of how good they are. But what we need is a church that when the world comes to it, that God might declare just who they are and what they need. And they need to come in contact with one that sees all. The Bible in the Old Testament speaks about that prophet. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ was much more than a prophet. I'm thankful that he's seen the future and he's seen what I need and he provided it for me. Sometimes I still, as Timothy made mention about India, and asked if we ever go back there. I communicated to Paul. I said, this is how we do things in America. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to tell you that the Lord's laid it on my heart to come back and to preach to your all's people. I said, because if God's working, he'll work on both ends. And he'll work on your end stronger than mine. I said, all I am is a phone call away. And that's the way I left it. Would I want to go back? It don't matter. It don't matter to me whether I want to go or not. I want to take it. And I don't have the shame of it. But it was a dry place. Oh, I tell you. Jonah didn't enjoy his trip, not at all.
the beach. He preached it and then got saved, and he's still on. I don't want to be a Jonah. No, sir. Oh, but if I could just be halfway like old Paul, so at the end of this life, I say, I am sanctified. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, if I could say that, and to say as he said, regardless of whatever situation, I found myself, I learned to be content. There are a few people who can say that, but I'm thankful. So it ain't up to me. I tell you what, I like rice, but I don't like it for every meal. I like chicken, but I don't like the way they fix it. But listen, if God said, there, I want you to go to that foreign land. I want you to learn Tamil or whatever other language. I say, all right, Lord, I know you're going to provide. God, I've already dedicated my children to you, Lord. They're in your hands. You do with them what you see fit. We heard a message this week about David Livingstone and the heartaches and the hardships that he experienced that in his travels that as he was stumbling through the jungles. I never knew this. I never read the account. I wrote by the one man that I was with him. But we heard it this week. He said that his eye had been plucked out from walking through the brush at some point. That he even lost the eyesight in one eye. That his wife, but when she went, she got sick and she had to go. And then I think it wasn't weeks, it wasn't months, but it was years. I think it was 5 years, 3 or 5 years. And he come back, and she hugged him. She hugged a man she did not recognize. And she looked at him, and his face had been disfigured. He had lost his eyesight in one eye. He stayed there for a little bit, and he said, I've got to go back. I've got to go. Why? It weren't for the health of it. It wasn't for the praise, no doubt, of man. But it was for the black faces, the black souls that were in India, or in Africa rather. Listen to me. She said, I'll go. She said, just let me just rest a little bit more, and I'll be there. And she went and she died in that faraway country of the disease that had plagued her body so when she first was there. And they went. Oh, why? Because there's souls at stake. Listen, there's souls dying everywhere. There's souls in it. When I went to that little old village, it broke my heart. You know, I love everybody. I truly try. There's a lot of people I sure don't love their actions, but I love them because Jesus Christ died for them, and they have a soul that'll never die. We went to the city in India, and I looked at those little children. I've got a soft spot in my heart for children, and I see those children. And I see those Hindu mamas, and they have those dots on their head. And there's a lot of confusion over there. You can only imagine in a polytheistic society, you know what I mean by, in a society of many gods, how do you communicate that there is but one true and living God? How do you know that idol worshiper doesn't take Jesus, as it were, and set him next to his many idols? But that's what happens in America, is it not? We see it time and time again. People come and they say, I have faith. But yet they have believed in Jesus, as it were, to take care of this part of their life and all of this here. They've got answers to it, but they don't. They need to open up their heart. But you can imagine the challenge, as it would be, to go to India, and the frustration that I experience, because There was no altar call given. When I tried one service, as it were, through the interpretation, there come three women walking up. And I said, thank you, Lord. Because normally at every end of every service, there's all these people that come up to be prayed for this ailment, for that ailment. I pray that my son might graduate college. I pray for me, my ankle's hurting. And we're not talking about Christians. Although there's Christians as well. That's where you come, is it not, to the altar to find answers. Don't go anywhere else. But listen, they come and we give an invitation. And there was three women come. And I said, thank you, Lord. And the man turned and he said, they want you to pray for them. They've got ailments. And we begin to pray for those people in the city. But when we went out to the country, you know what we got out in the country? We call them rednecks. Why? Because a definition of a redneck, and I ain't talking about Jeff Foxworthy and his trash, but the old definition is a white, uneducated farm worker. It's what you'll find in Webster, or at least the one I got. And they got a redneck because they're working out in the sun. Well, we didn't go there. We didn't see no rednecks, but what we seen when we went to that little village, we seen children whose skin was a lot blacker, was a lot darker from being out in that sun. And I want to tell you, as we sat there and I stood there on there wasn't a church lawn in that little village. We was on this platform that the government had built as a community house, and we set up. And right across the way, about as far as from here to across the road, was a little old temple. This is how poor they were. Their temple, what was it, Tony, about from here to here and about as deep. And inside, I couldn't see it. It was already too dark. There was this little old idol. They didn't have no gates on that clock because it wasn't nothing anybody wants to do. Oh, we were sitting there. We kind of left us. There's all those little kids. They held out their hands. Now circles little hands. Those little black faces. Those shining white eyes. And those smiling teeth. And I said, oh God. But he don't have to go all the way to India to find those faces. We can see them right in Lebanon. And so listen, we must go where the Lord leads us. We must go where the Spirit of God is. Oh, I told Rick Carver, I said, you know, if the Lord ever called me to come to India to be a missionary, I'd see myself, as it were, in one of those little villages, making friends with those. We was there, the kids were up front, and then a little while later they had blankets all out on the ground, and the women, they were behind there. And the men gathered around the tree next to the that little temple where they were listening. And I prayed. I know I didn't say much there. I cried. Tony said more than I did. But we prayed. Those little Hindu women lift up that baby Jesus. We place our hand on them. Oh, their hair, but some of them be stiff, you know. Some of them from sweat. You know how salt feels like when it's been left, when the sweat's evaporated. We place our hands on those little kids, and I pray that the Lord save their soul, send a missionary to America. Oh, we need them. I want to tell you, we need them. Oh, we need men of God that'll preach. Oh, that won't look at the the faces of men. We need to be schooled by His Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. I don't know. It's too soon to tell if there was any work done. I might not be able to figure it out. Maybe my daddy. Maybe my grandfather. When I see him, I don't know. When I get to heaven, there's some fate to think. There won't be no races. I don't know. Don't matter. One way or the other. I can tell you this, when I seen those faces over there, I loved them like they's my own. Although their faces as black as soot, so I don't reckon it much matters if there'll be different races in heaven or not. Maybe I'll see one of them first. Maybe I'll see my daddy. Maybe I'll see my mama, my grandfather up there, and they'll say, "Tell." I want you to meet somebody. But listen, I'm blessed, but you ought to be blessed as much. You're the ones who gave the money to help us go over there. Listen, if I was to beat you home, then that'd be alright. You come ahead. I want to show you to some people. Amen. I believe that the Lord had a work over there. It feels like yet there is yet something to be done. The Lord's already called me to pray for some of them. Listen, we must pray. Church that's filled with His Spirit. It's a church filled with the presence to pray. I want to tell you now, each and every one of us, let us not get so unripe though, and praying for those over in India that we would forget those that live right next door to us. Those that have a father that loves them but don't begin to know what love is. Those that have a mother that no doubt cares for them, but don't begin to know what true love is. I want them to know what it is, don't you? There's some people that come to our church because we're few in number. The Spirit speaks to their heart and they want to shut in. The Spirit speaks to their heart and they look around. There must be so few and they leave. And they discount it as being nothing more than, as it were, superstition. Have you ever been out in the dark at night? I can remember as a kid. You ever hear them old tomcats, they get to fighting, and I don't know if it's the toms or if it's the females during a certain season. I can remember that I made a point in the wintertime to feed beaver. When we lived on this one farm, feed beaver, and you know how it gets dark early in the night in the winter. I made a point to feed beaver while it still weren't dark. Because we lived on a farm that was surrounded by a neighborhood, what we called a neighborhood, a bunch of houses. And all these stray cats would come there. And they'd have their kittens in the barn, and it was just covered all up. And I'd go out there, and I was getting old enough. I guess I was about 9 or 10, and I knew there wasn't nothing out in the dark that'd get me. At least not where we was at, right? There weren't no panthers or bears there. And I'd begin to hear them old cats when it got dark, and they'd begin to cry like a baby. You ever heard an old cat do that? Well, my old imagination, I always had a good imagination or a bad one in certain instances such as that. I think about some baby laying out in the barn and cats chewing his toes off. Just awful thoughts like that. About that old bloody baby crawling out of the barn, coming after me because I didn't save it. Just silly stuff like that. And I begin to hear them cry and make a hair stand on the end of my way back here. It'd go right up,
point, 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 and keep on going all the way around, then my eyebrows would poke out. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I was scared. And I'd shake it off and say, ah, that ain't nothing but superstition when you see that black cat then run out of the barn. A lot of people count the Holy Spirit and it dealing on men is nothing more than superstition. Nothing more than my emotions got the best of me and they nearly carried me away. And they look around and they discount it because there'd be so few here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together that He would, in His name, let's not forget that, in His name that He'd be in the midst. And He always will be. But us that are here today, we need to not fail to, as it were, to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because it not only is for our benefit and the benefit of our children, but it's for the benefit of that lost soul that might come in. So when Daryl gets up in the morning, a lot of times almost as early as he goes to bed on Sunday morning and don't feel like coming to church, Daryl should be motivated out of love, should he not? Was that why Saul went on his trip? His father told him. Was he motivated out of love or out of honor or out of respect? It doesn't matter, he went. Well, listen, if love won't get you out of bed, if respect and honor for our risen Savior won't, well, then might it be the fire of hell. That ain't no way to live a Christian life, to be afraid of dying and going to hell, is it? But we need to be moved. The Bible says that we were hot or cold, as to be lukewarm. Because lukewarm is just indifferent, ain't it? Don't care one way or the other. And I got a reason to come to church. That's what gets me out of bed most mornings. It's that I love Him and He died for me. But occasionally, what gets me out of bed is what kind of an example am I setting for my children? They need to see that God's more important than anything. And so we come to church anyway. And we find the Lord's always there. Let's get some song to sing. We ain't had an altar call yet this service. And we're giving this altar call so that the lost and the Christian alike might come if they feel the need and come down here to the altar. Saul, he left his father's house with the servant. That servant was seeking his master's unclean animals. But what he come back with was a king. That's my desire. I don't care what you come, what you want from the Lord. If you'd let Him speak to you, if you'd let Him lead you, you'll see Him for who He is and you'll follow Him. Go ahead. You know, I am thankful. It's been said, it ain't everywhere you go that you can feel the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm glad that we can come here, though we might be few in number. I'm truly glad we can come here and we can feel His presence.